Well, good morning. So, you know, Dennis and I were talking, and he's like, why don't we get a guy to do the Mother's Day gifts? And I'm like, Dennis, do you know what they would get? I'm not quite sure, so let's ask a lady to do it. If you have a Bible this morning, grab it. You can open up to Matthew 21. Yes, we're going to go off script. Normally, we teach verse by verse, book by book, and we are currently in 1 Timothy. But today, we're going to talk about the King that has come. So, it's Palm Sunday today, and we remember that this is the day where Israel celebrated the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. It's known as the triumphal entry because he came in as a king. He was recognized as a king. There was a little bit of a problem with this, though. He didn't come in like they thought. He came in not to take over and to rule and reign, as they were thinking. He came in to go to the cross and then the tomb, and ultimately what we'll celebrate next Sunday, the resurrection. So if you open up to Matthew 20, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. And so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. And a great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went out before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitudes said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. So we see here that this is very interesting because all through Jesus' ministry, a lot of people came to him seeking to see the signs and the wonders. And then when those signs and wonders ceased, many of them went away. They had a hard time declaring him as the Messiah. But here, something in their heart was stirred. Here they have a change. Here they're not only celebrating Jesus, but symbolically there's a lot going on as they are declaring him to be the Messiah. What's interesting about this day, because it brings celebration, but it also brings challenges. It brings challenges as that Jesus now presents himself as king. This is one and only time where he allowed himself to be received as the king. Fulfilling prophecy, as we just read. But it's challenging because many miss the whole point. In fact, just before he would go into it, and we'll talk about it in a moment, just before he would enter into Jerusalem, he stops for a moment, he pauses, and he cries. He weeps. Shortest verse of the Bible for you Bible trivia people. Jesus wept. Now, a lot of people interpret that as, oh, he's so sad because he's going to die. That he's not looking forward to the pain and the punishment and ultimately giving up his life. And if they believe that, they're totally missing the point. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. If you want to see where Jesus struggled with the cross, it's in the garden, not on the hill overlooking the city. So we see the presentation of the king. He doesn't just enter in. Nope. He comes in a very unique style. We see that he fulfills the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, where he says, your Savior will come in lowly, riding on a donkey. Now, this is interesting because you see, the donkey was a symbol of peace. Not only that, but he rode the colt, which had never been ridden before, which shows several things. You see, normally a triumphal king would ride in on a stallion conquering. That would be the first entry. Then he would enter again on a donkey, declaring, I don't come as a king warrior, but I come now in peace. And so this is very significant that he would come in on a colt. It would also show his ability to have power over creation. Now, there's a lot of horse people in the room today. Have you ever gotten on a horse for the first time? How'd that go? You see, Jesus had control over the wild. He had dominion. And this would show it. It would symbolize that he has peace. Not only that, but the colt, who had never been ridden before, also showed this animal was sacred. You see, for the first time, anything that would be used for the first time was set aside as an unused, clean animal, set aside for a divine purpose. And then we talked about the authority of this created being obeying its creator. So there's a lot there that we see just with the colt. Now, with the New King James Version, there might be a little bit of confusion there, because as you read that they brought him, the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. Did he sit on both the donkey and the colt? Can be kind of confusing. And so, no, if you read it, what it's saying, he's saying he sat on the clothes. He sat on the clothes. So what's the deal with the clothes? Why would the disciples take off their clothes for Jesus to sit on? Because horses are bony and he needs comfort. No. No, it's much more than that as well. You see, they would take off the very thing that would give them protection and security. Now, oftentimes, they're not like us. Like this morning, I walk into the closet and I'm like, okay, I'm going to pick three, and then I'll put those three on, and then Heidi will choose something else for me. I'm like, just go choose something. And she's like, no, you got it. Okay. You're really going to choose that? No. See, it was much different. Then, oftentimes, they only had one thing to wear. One thing. Now, we're not talking to the point of where they would be exposing themselves completely, where they would be vulnerable and without clothes, but they would have a cloak. It would be the only thing that would be their protection. It'd be like their coat, the only thing that would keep them secure against the elements, keep them warm, and they're sacrificing that so that he can sit on it. You see, we got a picture here, guys, of self sacrifice for the Lord. That we offer what could cost us the most, that would make us the most vulnerable. And so as we're talking about Palm Sunday here, this is why Jesus wept, because they were doing this. The disciples were putting their clothes on the colt, and then later on, as he would enter into the city, the people would take their clothes off and put them on the streets for the donkey to walk on. Another symbol of submission to the king, a symbol of sacrifice to the king. And then 3 days later, they would all abandon him. Where were they now? You see, it's sometimes easy to take our clothes off. Sometimes easy to give our material things. It's sometimes easy to show a sacrifice for Christ. But then when it's time to stand at the cross, well, wait a minute. Let me think about this a little bit more. It's easy to give our cloak. It's hard to give your life. And so that's why this is a great celebration for Jesus, and this is why it's also challenging, because he knew where the people would ultimately go. And this is why before he entered in, he would weep. Because it was their time of visitation. Could you imagine that if this morning I said, hey, Jesus is coming. He's coming. Would he cry because you came just to see him do a miracle? Would you cry, or he cry because, you know, your hearts aren't really there? That knowing in 3 days when he goes to the cross, you've lost interest. Sometimes, church, when we go through a difficult time, it's easy for us to come to Jesus. But then when things go good, we kind of forget about him. And the question we ask ourselves is, as we're here today declaring Hosanna, we're here today saying, yes, he is our Lord. Yes, we might lay down something. We might put a little money in the box. We might serve a little bit of our time in helping a ministry. But does he have your heart? Is he weeping over us? You know, Jesus would rather have that relationship with you more than anything that you could do for him. He desires that relationship more than your deeds, more than your actions. And that's where it really goes down to. What's in your heart? Now, it's also interesting that when he tells the two disciples to go get the donkey and the colt, when the owner says, hey, what you doing? He says, the Lord has need of them. Okay. Now, we don't know what happened there. We don't know if there was a divine appointment. Pretty good chance that there was, but maybe not. Who knows? It doesn't tell us, so we can't speculate. But maybe he had a dream, as God often works, and says, hey, there's going to be two people that are to come asking for your donkey and colt. You give them to them. Okay, Lord. Could be. Sometimes we have to have that, right? Or could it just be, hey, the Lord has need of something, and we're like Johnny on the spot. Yes. Here you go. Take it. It's yours. This person, whether he was reacting just because of the command, the Lord needs them, or if there was some kind of divine intervention, we don't know. But listen, he acted. He didn't go, let me think about it. Let me go discuss it with some people. You know, where there's two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. Let me find the verse in the Bible that says this. And so the question now comes back to us. The Lord has said something. Hey, I need this. Do you say, here it is? And again, more importantly, it's not about a material thing. It's not about funding the church. It's more about he wants your heart. And the Lord cries that very thing. And he says, I so love you that I sent my son. Will you receive him? See, that's an interesting contrast, isn't it? Because oftentimes when we think of service of the Lord, we think we have to give, we have to do. And God says, oh, hold on. Let's start with, will you receive my gift? Did you ever notice that? A lot of times we first approach church like we have to give. And God says, I'm going to give to you first. And then you return and give because he first loved you. But the question is the Lord is calling you today saying, have you received? Yes, Lord, I have. I've received. Jesus then would take the donkey. Now, why would he do the donkey again? Because it's fulfilling prophecy. Filling Zechariah 9. They should have known. They knew their Torah. They knew their Bible, if you will. And to see at that time no other possibility in history, with all of the events leading up to it. And now this person on this day rides in on a donkey. They're declaring him to be the fulfillment of the prophecy. So the great multitude in verse 8 now spreads their clothes on the road. We kind of already talked about this, but oftentimes this would have been their only possession of clothing. And they put it on the road for the animals to walk on. What the sacrifice they showed. Great sacrifice. Not only that, but then they would cut down branches. So they would lay down their pride. They would lay down their self-protection. They would lay down their agendas. They would lay all these things down for the king. And then they cut branches. Not just any branch, but a palm branch. They waved them and laid them down. What does this mean? This is symbolic of both victory and triumph. You see, in the ancient Jewish culture, palm branches symbolized victory, rejoicing for national deliverance. This was established with the Maccabean revolt. It was confirmed in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. A great multitude, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Now, if you're part of the Revelation study, we talked about that, but why the palm branch? Because it symbolized national deliverance. It also showed hope. The waving of the palm branch and the crying of Hosanna, hope for salvation. You see, the palm branches were twofold. A physical victory and then a salvation, a spiritual victory. A belief that Jesus would not only overthrow the Roman Empire, but he would also overthrow Satan's empire. Palm branches had become the national symbol from the Maccabean revolt about 150 years prior to, where the Jewish freedom fighters used them in celebration after the rededication of the temple. The fact that they're laying them down also declared Jesus to be the king. We believe you are the Messiah. We believe you are the king. We believe you are the deliverer. Again, we can look at our lives here. Because what do we know that happens come Wednesday? Yes, I said Wednesday, not Friday. What happens come Wednesday? And this Wednesday, by the way, this Wednesday is not going to be Revelation. This Wednesday is going to be Good Wednesday for us. So I'd encourage you to come on Wednesday, 6 o'clock, and I'll show you the crucifixion of Jesus. But the question is come Wednesday, they just proclaimed you are going to spiritually free us, that you are going to be our king, be our Messiah, be our deliverer, and then they're gone. They're crying, crucify him. Sometimes that happens to us. We're so quick to proclaim Jesus in our lives. But see, the problem was they worshiped him on Sunday, but he didn't do what they thought by Wednesday. And they cried for his head. Guys, sometimes we go to the Lord. We say we're Christians. We say we're this. We say we believe. But then he doesn't show up in a way that we think. And then we go, I don't believe no more. Who could believe in a God that didn't save me from this? That's what they were doing. Now, you and I sit here today and go, oh, they missed it. If I was there, you would be crying, crucify him too. Because we do. Things don't go good in our lives, and we're questioning God. Where are you? 3 days earlier, I was declaring you to be my deliverer. 3 days later, I was declaring you to be the king, the victor. I was laying everything down for you. And now it doesn't go my way, and I'm no longer there. But you see, Jesus was doing the greatest miracle. Do you understand that? You see, God can bring us out of trials and tribulations. And it sure is nice when he does, yeah? But he does the greatest thing because you see, after the death, come Sunday, he has victory over the death. You see, trials and tribulations don't often lead to death, but sometimes they do. That is the worst case scenario, yeah? That would be the worst case scenario for us. You hear the saying, man, that was tough, but did you die? Right, you're doing a workout. But did you die? No, that was hard. Did you die? No, well, I guess you got that going. I guess I made it through. But if you did die, you see, he did the greatest thing ever. Sunday, he rose again. Sunday, he had victory over that death. So even if you did die, you see, there is victory. We got to remember that. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are, you have been spiritually raised from the dead. Yeah, your body still might be separated, death, but you are no longer separated from God. So he's already performed the greatest miracle in your life. And we got to remember that. He's already performed the greatest thing. He's already resurrected you and I. So we know the end of the story, right? We know what happens Sunday. But we forget that. And so this morning, as we look at Palm Sunday and we see this, we got to ask ourselves, are we doing this? Are we laying down and declaring God as our King, but not really fully trusting in Him? Are we doing these things when the Lord says do something? Are we saying, yes, Lord? Or are we saying, let me think about that? And then when we ultimately go to the darkest days of the cross, are we still there? Knowing that in 3 days, He is going to rise again. You get this picture with Lazarus when Jesus goes and visits his friend as he gets word that he died. Note, he delayed 3 days. Why 3 days? It's just a coincidence, guys. It's just a coincidence. He delays going to see his dead friend for 3 days. In fact, on his way there, Lazarus' sisters come running out. If you would have been here, Jesus, you would have saved him and he wouldn't have died. There's a lesson there too, right? You see, no matter how you look at it, they were struggling with the same thing. They believed, but they didn't believe. They're like, Jesus is like, he's gonna rise. He's gonna rise. Well, we know that. We know that. He's gonna rise in the end. That's what she says, right? I don't know if she had the attitude that I had. Probably she was Jewish. No. He's gonna raise right now. She looks at him and goes, he stinks. He's good. He done got dead, and he's good and dead. And again, it breaks Jesus' heart because of her lack of belief. And he stands before the tomb, and he says, let me show you. Lazarus, come forth. Understand, when Jesus is knocking on your heart, you know what he's saying to you? He's saying to you spiritually, come forth. He's calling you out of the grave. That's incredible. That's what this is all about. That's what Easter and the cross and the resurrection is, what happens to us spiritually. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As we close today, and it's going to be a short message today, we need to ask ourselves, we're standing on the side of the road, willing to lay our clothes down. We got our palm branches in our hands. But is it in our hearts, guys? Is it in our hearts? Notice this week, spiritual high, Palm Sunday, the cross, the lowest of lows, the resurrection. Isn't that our lives? But we always have to have that hope. Because next Sunday he's going to say, I am risen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you. We cry out, Hosanna. Hosanna. We believe you, Lord. Lord, and we've got the advantage that the disciples didn't have. But, you know, we're still relying upon faith. Just like the pre-Jesus believers didn't see the Messiah. Just like those people in Jerusalem on that day saw you, but they didn't see what was going to happen a week later. We haven't seen any of it. We're reading about it in a book. And the common thing between all of us is that we believe. Is that we believe. Jesus told Thomas, as Thomas said after the resurrection, let me put my hand, my fingers in the holes. Then I'll believe. And he said, okay, Thomas, here you go. But blessed are those who have not seen and believe. And that is you and I. Because we're just reading about it. Do we have the faith? And if you do, no matter where you are, maybe you're quick to lie down your clothes, maybe you have lied down your clothes, but then things got tough and you're like, oh, we hoped. The road to Emmaus, they talked, the two disciples talked, telling them everything that had happened, and they said, we really hoped he was the Messiah. And he says, look at me, here I am. And their eyes were opened. See, sometimes we get in those spiritual lows and we think that maybe God isn't real. But we know the end. We know what brings next Sunday. And so if that's you today, I ask you, don't give up hope. Hang in there, because he is the resurrection. Wherever you are today, I invite you to pray with me. Lord, I believe. I'm a sinner, and I struggle. I have highs and lows, Lord. But you knew this about me. You knew that I was going to have times of doubt, times of failure, and then times of victory. But you still died for me, Lord. You still chose me. I believe that you stepped out of eternity for me. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. I believe that you took my place on my cross and bore my sins in my place. I believe you died there. I believed you was placed in the tomb. And I believe you rose again. And I receive you today, Hosanna, as my Lord, my Savior, my Deliverer, and my King. In the name of Jesus, we all say, Amen.